While the Perrys, the Malaga Association, and the state wrangled over the island, what happened to the people? The answer might be the most startling part of this story. In December of 1911, 8 people were taken from the island. The entire Marks family, children and all, and Annie Parker, an elderly woman. The state commits them to the Maine School for the Feeble-Minded. The state called this a humane act.
By sending a family there, you also sent the message that this was sort of the way this group was classified.
Dr. Stephen Murphy is writing a book about the history of the Maine School for the Feeble-Minded. He says institutions like the Maine School were established partly to warehouse troublesome people and to isolate so-called defectives as a way to keep them from having children.
You could talk about the racial component to this action. You could talk about the socioeconomic component to this action. But it was all neatly packaged and under the label feeble-minded. So the whole thing became easier to do in my mind. These people, once categorized in that way, could then be equated with a menace and fully justified in removing them from society.
Once the islanders were committed, they were given tests to assess their intellectual capacities. Despite the success the young people were having at the school on Malaga, they were labeled middle-grade imbecile and low-grade moron. Historian Bill Berry worked at the Maine School in the 1970s when it was known as Pineland.
I looked at some of the tests that the kids took to prove that they were retarded or feeble-minded in those days. They would show you a picture of a telephone. Well, if you didn't have a telephone, you didn't know what a telephone was. And they'd ask, who was the president of the United States? Well, one of the young women who was 16 at the time she took the test, they asked her who the president was, and she said Roosevelt, and she got it wrong because it was Taft. She ended up, you know, for the next 10 or 12 years being in Pineland.
2 islanders died a few months after their committal, one of cancer, the other of kidney disease. 4 more islanders died at the school over the years. Only 2 were released. None of them ever had any children. With 8 islanders at the Maine school and a deed firmly in hand, the state threatened to evict the remaining 30-some-odd people. Weeks passed. No action was taken. These may have been Malaga's darkest days. One time, the islanders saw George Pease coming, and they hid. Pease was the state agent for Malaga. He found a child and told him to go find the others, and if they didn't come out, he'd send them all to the Maine school. After months of uncertainty and fear on Malaga, Governor Plaisted ends his threats. He gives the official order, everyone off the island by the 1st of July. The governor said the islanders would be paid for their homes, and they had a choice. They could take their homes with them or leave them behind to be burned down.
Sights that would make a man stare and wonder have lately been witnessed at the mouth of the New Meadows River down by the bay. The Malaga Islanders are on the move. They have carried their houses with them.
On July 1st, 1912, Malaga Island is empty. The families, the houses, gone. Only the school and the graveyard are left. A 50-year-old community of black, white, and mixed-race people is destroyed.